And find ourselves once again in our series on the church and how the church functions, or these would be the DNA of the church and what she is to do. In Romans chapter 12, we have discovered that the church is, as Paul says, verse 4, many members in one body in verse 4. And it says, so we being many members in this one body, we are to do the following things. So let's read verse 13 one more time. We'll pray together and jump into the text. Romans 12, 13. God's word says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you do love us, as we've just heard in song, and how powerful that is to know that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures because he loved us. Thank you for that. We pray today as we look at this text that you'd help us to understand it and apply it. Help me to preach. May Christ be the focus. In Christ's name, amen. In the American Legion magazine, September 2024, there's an article entitled "The Public Health Crisis of Loneliness." And I want to read part of the article to you. I think you'll find it quite insightful and helpful as we think about this text. The writer here is a lady by the name of Jennifer Campbell, and she says, "Social isolation and loneliness are growing concerns in today's society and affect people of all ages and backgrounds, including veterans. These feelings can arise from living alone, significant life changes, and a lack of social connections. Isolation and loneliness often extend beyond emotional distress, affecting physical health, mental well-being, and overall quality of life." And she says, here's a look at how far-ranging the effects can be. I just want to read part of them to you. I think they'll be very helpful. First of all, she says, physical health. Studies show that chronic loneliness can be as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It is associated with increased risk of cardiovascular diseases, hypertension, and weakened immune systems. Prolonged isolation can lead to a sedentary lifestyle, poor nutrition, neglect of personal health care, and further exacerbating your health problems. They see that loneliness affects mental health. Feelings of isolation are strongly linked to mental health disorders such as depression and anxiety. Further, isolation often results in decreased cognitive function and increased risk of cognitive decline and dementia in older adults. A constant state of loneliness can trigger stress responses in the body, leading to chronic stress. And one more. Humans are intentionally social beings, and connections are crucial for emotional health. Loneliness can lead to a sense of disconnection, making it difficult to form, maintain meaningful relationships. It can result in social withdrawal, individuals avoiding interaction and deepening their isolation, and can lead to negative perception and low self-esteem. Isn't that amazing that today the world is looking at this issue of loneliness and they're saying there's an epidemic of it in a sense? Matter of fact, the issue could be partly resolved, I guess, if you take the advice of this one county in Oregon. It's called Dial a Friend. It's called a runaway success. That's how organizers view Operation Dial a Friend in Clemassis County, Oregon. It's a type of success story that warms the heart. Here's the article. The Dial a Friend started as a daily telephone check on elderly. Volunteers agreed to phone designated shut-ins to check on their condition and to cheer them up. The volunteers immediately started to go the second mile. Not only did they routinely phone daily, but the calls led to visitation, shopping trips, and the growth of real friendships. So that's a kind of a heartwarming story to kind of combat the loneliness we have. But today I want to talk about Christian hospitality, because I think when you think about Christian hospitality, I think loneliness is one of the issues that it addresses and it combats what our society is experiencing. Matter of fact, when we think about hospitality, we think about many things. Hospitality comes across in a way where we think about, well, that person is in the hospitality business. They run a hotel or they serve in a restaurant. And matter of fact, when you look at the economy, they actually kind of discovered that the economy has a whole section of the economy that they deal with the issue of hospitality. So we've defined hospitality in very broad terms today, but I want to talk today about the biblical context and how we can apply it to our lives. Today we're looking at the idea of Christian hospitality as the title, and the first point is a biblical context, a biblical context. Let me begin, first of all, by defining what the word hospitality means in verse 13. The Bible uses the word given to hospitality, or it can be translated pursuing hospitality. The word hospitality literally means, in its original language, care to strangers or pertaining to show care to strangers. So it's the idea of caring for those who come to your door and they needed a place to stay. Now, I want to address this from many issues, and to us to set up the context, I want us to go back in our Old Testament because it makes a little bit more sense when we understand what's happening in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. In Leviticus 19, we find this issue of hospitality come up to the Jewish people in Leviticus 19, or we would call them the Hebrew people. In Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. So as I go through these, we're going to paint a picture of the Old Testament's view of hospitality and into the New Testament with one little caveat, which we'll give you in just a moment. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 says it this way, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in the land, you shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Isn't this an amazing thought? So God is saying in Leviticus that the reason you care for the stranger or sojourner or visitor is for two reasons. One, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And two, you are to treat them as family. Isn't that an amazing thought? Now, I was preaching this message earlier today, and something never crossed my mind. And somebody brought it up to me afterwards. So I must quickly address it, lest you've been watching social media and this verse has come up, okay? I'm going to read you the first part of Romans 13, and I want you to listen to Romans 13. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." This is not your license to break the government's laws and house illegal citizens in your house. I understand that is being twisted by some in this world. The Bible is not saying that. So if you've walked out of here and you said, "Pastor Aaron is telling me I am to house illegals in my house," you've either misunderstood me or I've miscommunicated. One of the two has happened. Okay, that is not what the text is saying. But in this text, he is saying, be hospitable to people in your home. Let's go to the next text. So you are to love them as your own, the visitors, and then you are to treat them in the Jewish context as family. Look at verse number, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at verse 18. This is powerful. So remember, this is the Jewish people. Deuteronomy 10:18 says it this way. "He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." So not only do you love him as your own, but you give him food and clothing. "Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." He repeats this again. The reason why you're treating these guests is because you were strangers one time as well. And then Deuteronomy 24 is probably one of the best, because in Deuteronomy 24, 17 through 20, it tells us the system of the Jewish people. And I'm telling you what was to happen under the law. We'll talk about the new covenant in just a moment. In Deuteronomy 24, 17 through 21, Moses was commanded to write these things. Deuteronomy 24, 17, "Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing." Now notice what they're commanded to do in Israel. So every verse I'm reading in the Old Testament is referring to how the Jewish people were to address hospitality. Look at verse 19. When thou cuttest down the harvest in thy field, thou forget a sheath in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, for the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest an olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs thereof again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes in thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. So here's what he is saying. Just like you were a stranger in Egypt, when you have a stranger in your land, treat them as a guest. Show them hospitality. Now here's the three things it's saying in the text. When you go to a field and you've harvested your grain and you've left part of it in the grain field, don't go back and get it. Leave it for the widow, the stranger, the fatherless. When you have harvested your grapes, you leave some of them for the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. When you harvest your olives, the same way, you leave some for the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. So this idea of hospitality is kind of ingrained into the Jewish system. And matter of fact, you can write down these few references. One of the most well-known is in Genesis 19 with Abraham. Remember in Genesis 19, the two visitors showed up to Abraham and they gave them a nice meal and he begins to tell them about Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. Abraham was the model of hospitality. It's also seen in the woman we know of as Rahab. And you may not think about this, but when the two spies come into Jericho, remember Jericho is a walled city. She receives them into the house in hospitality and houses them, slash hides them, on her roof and flax straw. And she receives them in, and her house is not destroyed with those in it. As a matter of fact, she's referenced in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 31, for this act. And there's others in the Old Testament as well, like Gideon and Manoah in the book of Judges, chapter 6, who are seen as people who practice hospitality. So with that in mind, that's kind of a Jewish Old Testament context. I want you to go now to the New Testament with me and see several passages that apply to what we call the New Covenant or the New Testament. So turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, okay? So that's how the Jews understood hospitality. And you say, Aaron, how am I supposed to understand it? I'm a Christian. I follow the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 with me. Let's look at several passages together. Chapter 3, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's look at several passages on this in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In this, we see here that the church is commanded to be hospitable in Romans chapter 12, but now the church leadership is to be hospitable in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read you verses 1 and 2. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. So not only is the entire church supposed to function this way, but the church leadership is to be hospitable. And we've tried to do that. Some of you guys have been to our house, I think last Christmas? Whenever it was. We had you guys out for an open house. We tried to do that and hope you've enjoyed that. But this also applies not only to the church in general and the church leadership, but go with me to 1 Timothy 5:10. 1 Timothy 5:10 says about the widow, it says that this lady in verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years and having been the wife of one man, well reported of good works, for she hath brought up children if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet. Isn't this amazing? So the Bible is referring not only is the church doing this and the church leadership, but this widow has practiced hospitality. So how are we to do this? And what is the format? What is the way we function in hospitality? Well, if you're still taking notes, here's how we do it. Go with me over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, as you turn into 1 Peter 4, I need to give you some context. I've talked about the Old Testament system of hospitality, but here's how it worked in the New Testament. There were not a lot of places to stay in the New Testament. They didn't have the American Inns and the Hampton Inns and the Super 8s and the Motel 6s and the Hilton, what is there? I think one is there, DoubleTree, and the one that gives you the cookies and all that. Anyways, they didn't have all these. And you know that because if you've read Luke 2, when Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem, there's no room for them in the inn. They didn't have inns on every corner. So traveling, you would many times stay with family or friends. But in the context of Romans 12, you would stay with other believers. Now, this is very important, what I'm getting ready to say before I read this next verse. When you're reading your New Testament, these things should start thinking, wait a second. Given to hospitality, pursuing hospitality, hospitality is to be part of the DNA of the church. In the early church, they didn't have the buildings like we have today. The churches met in houses. And there were traveling preachers that went from house to house, thus Paul in his missionary journeys. And you know this because if you read the book of Acts, what happens in the house of Lydia? Paul goes to the house of Lydia and a house church is started there. When Paul's in the Philippian jail with Silas and he's in the stocks and the earthquake happens at night after they're singing, the jailer wants to commit suicide. Paul says, don't do it, we're all here. Where does the jailer take Paul and Silas? His house. Churches met in homes. There were house churches all over. So when somebody came and knocked on the door and they said, I am following the resurrected Christ, they went from house to house to house. This is why 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John address false teachers. That's why it says, don't receive these false teachers into your house and bid them Godspeed, because they were lodging strangers. Now you know how those three books make more sense now, right? Because they were addressing heresy, Gnosticism in 1 John. And this woman that's being addressed in the later letter is not to receive any stranger that knocks on the door and says, I follow Christ, if they're a false teacher. So we think about this issue. This was common in Paul's day and in Jesus' day. People were traveling, knocking on doors, staying in people's houses. Churches were meant in houses, and they would lodge overnight. Now, with all that in mind, Peter picks up on this in 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter 4, listen to what he says to us today. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, and above all things, have fervent charity, which means love, among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Ooh. So apparently, people were spending time in other people's homes, traveling in the Christian church. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John addresses the false teachers who were doing their deception. And Peter addresses the people who said, I don't want you in my house. So this was an issue. And Timothy is told, Timothy, you be a man of hospitality. You're a pastor. Paul tells the church in Romans, be hospitable. So I want to read you a few thoughts on this, and it'll hopefully help us to make sense of everything that's happening here, all right? When we think about this issue of hospitality, one person has titled this duty is regarded as the most sacred character. Another says that the returning of Christians' responsibility to other believers, Paul exhorts them to share with the people who are in need. And basically, they are to practice hospitality or pursuing hospitality. Another says it well. He says, this is a necessary injunction when so many Christians were banished and persecuted. The verb indicates not only that hospitality is to be furnished when sought, but the Christians were to seek opportunities to exercise it. So in the context, you have persecution happening. You have churches meeting in homes. You have people traveling as guest preachers to door to door. And Paul told Timothy, and Paul toward the Roman church, and Paul toward, and then all these, you're to help house fellow Christians on their journey. Now, that's the context of the Bible. So I wanted you to see how it was working in the New Testament. And let's talk about, two, the current context, how it works today. Notice with me back to Romans chapter 12, In Romans chapter 12, look at verses 12 and 13 one more time. I want to give you just a few quick thoughts on this and then challenge us on how to apply this text. Romans 12, let's look at a few verses here together. Thinking about the context we live in today, how do we practice hospitality in our world? The Bible says this, that you are to be given to hospitality in verse 13. And if you go back with me to verse 10, we are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. So the question is, well, how do I truly love one another and am affectionate? Well, you can do that through hospitality. And I want to stop before I go any further and talk about this. How does that work today? First of all, we have a lot of hotels in America today. And so that's a different world. And Naomi and I were talking about this. And in our culture today, when most people come and travel as Christians, they expect to be put up in a hotel if they're some minister. That's just the expectation. There's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything sinful. You're paying, if the church is paying their hotel bill, that's great. But what about us as individuals? And let me just give you some few thoughts on this, and I want to talk to you about this, how it's applied. Hospitality addresses the issue of loneliness, I think, in a powerful way because you're showing Christian love. So if you have family, friend, church family, neighbors, this is a great way to do it. You don't have to lodge them overnight if they live next door to you. They can go home to their own bed, okay? But you know what? I think hospitality in our culture is done through what? Having coffee together, inviting them over for a meal. You see somebody at a restaurant and you know them, go say hi to them. Sit down and talk to them at the fair. You're showing hospitality. And so what's happened in our world today is we're so disconnected that we're not doing that. Some of you, oh, good to see you, Alan. I was just thinking about you. And some of us are so disconnected in our world, we don't see each other. Now, I've heard these stories, and some of you guys can vouch for this. It used to be in days gone by that neighbors, I remember this from my grandfather, the neighbors used to do what? They would go over to somebody's house like on Sunday evening and sing songs. Does anybody remember that? I got a couple nods. Three, all right. I remember hearing stories, this is in Indiana now, where neighbors would travel to different neighbors' houses and help them cut firewood for the winter. And I remember Carter talking, I think, about this, Wanda, where he said they would do it on Thanksgiving Day. They'd cut a bunch of firewood. And so we used to live in a world where this hospitality of helping neighbors, visiting neighbors, singing with neighbors was more common. And we're in an issue of loneliness in our country partly because we've lost hospitality. Now, before I go any further, I want to say I've been able to visit many of you guys in your homes, and I'm so grateful for the warm hospitality, and that's great. So you guys are doing a great job, and many of you call and visit during the week, and that's wonderful. But I want to challenge us to keep this up. So in order to do this, I want to talk to you quickly about a study that was done in America from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. This was posted actually last October 25th, 2024, by Elizabeth Ross, and they took 4 years to research basically this issue of loneliness. The large article these findings comes from is called Loneliness in America, Just the Tip of the Iceberg. I'm not going to read you the article or reference all of it. I just want to mention a few thoughts, and I think you'll find these quite intellectually stirring and helpful as we talk about being hospitable. Here's some of the facts of their finding. They say that 21% of adults in the survey report that they had serious feelings of loneliness. The people, as they broke down the age categories, the most lonely people were people between the ages of 30 and 44. 29% said they were frequently or always lonely. That's almost a third of the country in that age gap. Wow. They said that 18 to 29-year-olds were 24% lonely, 45 to 64 were 20%, and 65 and older were 10%. They said in this, you know, almost a third of the country feels this way any given day, and they asked the question what they thought were some leading causes in America to this issue. This is amazing. You ready? the top one, 73% of those surveyed selected technology as contributing to loneliness in the country. Isn't that amazing? I just find this like, wow. Do you know what that tells me? That every one of God's creation, your human being created in God's image, we like the personal touch. We want to shake your hand, see your eyes, hear your voice, give you a hug. Something about the presence of a person helps not only hospitality, but this issue of loneliness. And we all know this. We know this inherently. They said 60%, 66% chose the insufficient time with family as the reason. 62% said people are overworked or too busy or too tired. 60% said the reason they're lonely is because of mental health challenges that harm relationships and so forth. 58% talked about individualism. In other words, people don't want to be around anybody else. But you know what 50% of the people in the survey said? This is amazing. There was no religious or spiritual life. Wow. Let that sink in just for a second. This is not a church survey. This is a secular world saying we're not connected to another body. That's why we're lonely. So here's my challenge to us this morning. In light of all these things I've just said, I want to give you a story and then give you an application. The story comes from Salem Krabon, and this was in the days of, many of you remember these days, of when East and West Germany were divided. It's called Giving What Each Had in Berlin. During the time East Berlin was communist-controlled, West Berlin was free. Some people in East Berlin one day took a truckload of garbage and dumped it on the West Berlin side. The people of West Berlin could have done the same thing, but instead they took a truckload of canned goods, bread and milk, neatly stacked it on the East Berlin side, and on top of this stack, they placed the sign, "Each gives what he has." Do you know what I think about hospitality? We just do what we have. You know what? Invite somebody over for a coffee. Go to uptown and meet somebody at Cinex for a donut. Have some friends and family over. That's what Christ wants the church to do. And in the world we live in today with all the divisiveness and the rhetoric and the violence, you know what? This is what people want. They want to be loved and connected. So that's our challenge. This week, this year, show Christian hospitality. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text that challenges me to my core to be hospitable. And thank you, Lord, for this great teaching from your word that you had teaching to your people in the Old Testament and the New Testament to show hospitality. Help us in these matters, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's have our closing hymn this morning.